I am speaking with Kalamazoo Public Schools Superintendent Michael Rice. The Kalamazoo Public Schools has a bond issue on the ballot coming up in May. Dr. Rice, thank you very much for taking some time to speak with us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
When voters go to the polls or perhaps pick up their absentee ballot, what are they going to see and what are they voting on?
They're voting on a $62 million millage for Kalamazoo Public Schools. We periodically go out to the voters and ask them for support for our schools, for our buildings. And this is one in a series over the last 30 years.
So when you go about deciding what is going to come out of this bond proposal, kind of take us through the process of determining what the needs are and then what projects you're going to spend the money on if this passes.
Sure. We have a facilities analysis done by our architect. It's several hundred pages long. It's quite extensive. It goes building by building, building system by building system, looking at the age of the systems, the amount of useful life left in each system, and so on and so forth. We then convene a citizens bond committee of about three dozen people from across the district. They look over the projects that are most in need of accomplishment over the next half decade or so. There's some conversation about the sequencing. There's some conversation about what needs to go when. Is there something we could put off to a subsequent bond issue or to a subsequent bond issue? And ultimately, what the Citizens Bond Committee does is to recommend to me and then subsequently to the Board of Education a project scope, the set of projects, and the dollar amounts associated with those projects.
And there's a combination of things here. There's some things that are sort of new projects. There's also some things that are, I guess, you might put more in the line of maintenance that needs to be done.
There's a lot of routine renovation. So, for example, I have a roof. It was put on in 1979. This is Michigan. It's not Hawaii. And we're going to have to replace our roofs periodically, a lot more frequently than in Hawaii, for example. So we look at all of those systems and make some determination of what needs to be done more immediately. So what roofs, what boilers, what parking lots, what sidewalks, what doors, what ceiling tile, what flooring tile, all of those elements, windows, we make a determination of what needs to be replaced.
Let me ask you a question similar to the one I asked Claudette Reed, who's trying to get the transportation millage passed.
Right.
This comes on the ballot at a time where the economy seems to be getting better, but there's still a lot of people out there probably still feeling the effects of having lost a job, perhaps taken a pay cut, or perhaps just having gone several years now without a meaningful raise.
Right.
And while this might not seem like a lot of money to the average homeowner out there, someone owns a $100,000 home, it's still something. What do you say to that person who says that every little bit now that comes out of my wallet hurts a little bit?
Well, the bond committee certainly was cognizant of this and factored that into its thinking, as did the board when it began its deliberations on what to put on the ballot. We do a survey of our citizenry about 6 months prior to our interest in having something on the ballot. So we did a survey in this community in November, shortly after the presidential election. And what we found was that 69% of the voters would be supportive of a one-mill increase, and 59% of the voters would be supportive. I'm sorry, 69% said they would be supportive of a half-mill increase. 59% said they would be supportive of a one-mill increase.
So you're in between there.
We're in between. That's exactly right. We're seven-tenths of a mill. So we did factor it in. We did think about this. We tested it with the voters. One of the things that we like to do is to say, look, these are your schools. These are your bond projects. What would you support in the way of projects? And there have been other communities that have different points of view about how to do this. Some don't survey. Some survey but ignore the results of the surveys. We believe in surveying and largely keeping with those results. So, yes, we put something on the ballot that we believe had somewhere between 59 and 69% support at the time of the survey.
How important are facilities, the quality of them, keeping them up to date, to the whole process of educating students?
We think they're important. I remember when I was in Washington, D.C. as a young teacher. I taught at Wilson Senior High School in Washington, D.C., and I remember vividly I was a floating teacher. I was one of the youngest teachers in the school, and what that meant was I didn't have my own classroom, so I floated. Period one was in, you know, Ms. Owen's classroom, and period two was in Ms. Hill's classroom, and so on and so forth. So what I got was the experience that the kids got in the hallways, because I was moving between classes as they were. When it rained in D.C., particularly in that part of D.C., what we would have would be water not only outside the building, but inside at a particular point in the hallways, because there was a pretty substantial roof leak and they didn't have the resources to repair. That's a particularly extraordinary example, but I think it goes to the point of protecting an investment. You either replace the roof, or you replace roof and ceiling tile and conceivably equipment underneath the ceiling tile and underneath the roof, maybe flooring and a whole host of other things. I've seen people develop air quality issues because they don't address roofs in a timely fashion. And that's just the issue of roofs. You take a boiler, for example. Boiler's not firing well. What you've got is you've got poor heat in a building, and kids are focused on the heat and their body temperature rather than their learning. So what you try to do is you try to create facilities that aren't fancy, but also that are reasonable for students and staff to be able to do the business of teaching and learning.
And if this is approved by the voters next month, does that accomplish that for Kalamazoo Public Schools?
I think it continues what we've had, which are schools that, though older in many cases, are in good repair. We've got a number of schools that are fairly substantially up there in their useful life, but they have been very well taken care of. I was in a district that cared a lot about its buildings, but had virtually no bond money over a period of years, the consequence of which was when anything popped, it was always out of an operating budget, which then chipped away at the number of teachers you could buy, the number of paraprofessionals you could buy, the amount of support services you could buy, and the like. That was one possibility. The other possibility was foregoing those expenses additionally and having additional, you know, greater expenses down the line. So I do believe that this bond issue continues the history of the district, which is to take care of buildings for students and staff.